Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you again and to continue our series, Refuel. Refueling your faith on God's faithfulness. It's been so good over these past few Sundays as we've considered some of the different psalms that we read in the Old Testament. I wonder if you've got a favourite psalm. Is there one that means a lot to you? Maybe we've mentioned it already. Maybe it's something that you return to through different seasons and times in life and you are reminded of God's faithfulness. Well, hopefully, as we've been on this journey, that your faith has been strengthened and you've been refueled. I hope over this summer period, you've taken time to refresh and be refueled for the next season. Well, during this summer period, with our boys out and about quite a lot, and we've been to all different parks and we've travelled all around the Northeast. And even 2 years after that great storm, Arwen, in 2021, I've been amazed at how many trees are still falling to the ground and have still to be moved on or cut up or made for some sort of purpose. As we were walking around some of the parks, it was so amazing to see the root systems of all these trees that when the storm came, the tree blew over. And as I was walking around some of these parks, I was just trying to look and see, well, there were trees standing right next to each other. One fell and the other stood tall. One, it was able to endure the storm. The other one succumbed to the storm. What was it that meant that that tree that was successful and stood up straight, why did that tree stand and the tree next to it didn't? And I guess we know that it all comes down to the root system, and depending on how deep the roots go will be how strong that tree will stand when the wind blows against it. But there was a time, I guess prior to this, that if I walked through that forest and all the trees were standing tall, I would have looked and thought, these trees are going to be here forever. It would have looked like each tree was never going to fall. Each tree was there and planted, it was rooted deep and would have stood the test of time. But the reality is storms come into all our lives. And it's through the storms that we reveal really how strong our root system or our foundation is and what we have built our lives upon. In the New Testament, the writer Paul, the apostle, writes to the church in Colossae and gives them this picture, this image of what it looks like to be a tree that is planted, a believer whose faith, whose roots are not in this world, but in Christ. This is what he says in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. And I believe that one of the distinctions and marks of a believer that should set us apart from everyone else in this world is that we are people that are overflowing with thankfulness. That we have a thankful spirit. That we don't need to think long or hard about what we should be thankful for. In fact, people should know that we are thankful people. That people should know that we are grateful. That we appreciate what other people do for us. Things that we experience. But of course, ultimately, what God has done for us. And Paul writes here to these early church believers and explains the importance of having a good root system, being strengthened in him, but something that should set us apart from all the other trees, if you like, is that we are people that are overflowing with thankfulness. And just as I looked around those woods and forests and saw trees that were falling to the ground and trees that stood still, as I look in my life and I look at different seasons in my life, I've got to ask myself, even now, am I overflowing with thankfulness? Because when you keep a thankful spirit, when the storms of life come, you will not be basing your gratitude, your appreciation, your praise, your worship on the experience of the circumstances. No, you will be basing it upon the reality and the truth that you know of who God is and what he has done for you. So how do you stay thankful, even in the most trying and difficult of times? When the sun's shining and everything is as you want it to be, it's easy to be thankful. But if we're honest and we're truthful, we recognize that there are seasons and times in life where we feel like we're going through a storm, we feel like we're going through a dry time. How can you stay thankful in those moments? Because I believe the thankfulness that Paul teaches about is not based on circumstances, but actually on the reality of who we are in. We are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we should be overflowing with thankfulness. How do we do that? Well, we remember what God has done. We remember what he's doing. And we remember what he's promised to do. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 136, and we are going to read the opening line of that psalm. It's Psalm 136. It tells us about God's character, that he is good. It tells us about how he is sovereign, how he rules above it all. He is higher. He is above all things. He is in charge. He's in control. It tells us also about what he has created and what he's done and what he continues to do for us today. And this is what the psalmist says: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Throughout this psalm, this is his love endures forever is repeated. It's almost like this mantra of praise, a phrase that is repeated. And it's a mantra of praise to God, that his love never ends. His mercies know no end. It's the picture frame that we view life through. If you are looking into your life right now and your worldview is anything else other than he is good and his love endures forever, if you are looking at anything else, then the picture looks very concerning and very worrying. And as you look out and you look into the future, if you don't know that God is good and that his love knows no end, then you have a lot to be worried and concerned about. But friend, if you know that the Lord is good and that his love will never end, it can frame your whole world in a completely different way. And as you look through that frame, everything within it, everything you see in life, even when it's blurry, even when it's messy, the frame can put it into its right perspective. But there are also things out with the frame, things that we don't know, things that we don't understand, and yet his mercy never ends, that we can trust him with those things as well. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Why should you give thanks? You know, you may be thankful, but are you giving thanks to the Lord? I think there's something different. You can be thankful for anything, but until you actually articulate your appreciation and your gratitude, no one would ever know how thankful you really are. And one of the blessings and the greatest privileges that we have to be those who have received the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God is that we get to express our thankfulness to God for it. Are you thankful? Well, why should we? Well, number one, he is worthy. God is worthy. We read here in this psalm, it tells us that God is the creator. He is our rescuer. He is the victor over all our enemies. He is the friend that sticks close to us. And he is the God of heaven. He's worthy of our thankfulness. He's also good. And his love knows no end. Those are three great reasons to give thanks to God today. Giving thanks is a lifestyle that acknowledges the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, but also acknowledges who he is. It's, what does it look like then? How do we create this life? What do we do to live a lifestyle of thankfulness? What does it look like to be someone who has a thankful spirit? What does it look like to be someone that in every circumstance can give thanks, that can rejoice even in the most challenging of times? Well, I believe, first of all, we've got to remember what God has done for us, what he's doing for us, and what he's promised to do for us. So what has he done? Because the emphasis of this psalm is on the saving acts of God and his help for us today. Paul writes in the book of Colossians once again, and further in that chapter that we read, and says this about our experience, about what God has done for us through Jesus. He says, you were dead because of your sins. And because of your sinful nature was not cut away. Spiritually, we were all dead before we came to know Jesus. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all your sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he has disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities and shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. What has he done for us? Well, number one, we can think upon the cross today. We can think upon salvation from our sin. You know, God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. That in the sending of Jesus, his son, as he came to the earth and dies upon the cross, he settles that sin issue that separated us from our Father in heaven. That no longer do we need to be apart, that we can be in right relationship once again because God has opened up the way for us to receive his forgiveness. That through the death of his son, Jesus, upon the cross, he has dealt with the sin issue. That now when we come to him, when we turn away from our old life, ask him to forgive us of our sins, he makes us spiritually alive. We're no longer dead, we are alive in Christ. And it's because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross that we can give thanks today that the cross has settled the issue. That we're no longer spiritually dead, but we are alive in Christ. Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Come on, friends, that's got to be something that you're always going to be thankful for. That you're no longer spiritually dead, but you are alive forevermore in Christ. And secondly, we know about the resurrection, that we have victory from our sin, that we no longer need to live defeated. We no longer need to live under the power of sin, but we know freedom in Christ. We know liberty. We know that we can live as an overcomer in this life because Jesus has defeated the grave. He's defeated death. He's defeated Satan. He's defeated sin. He's defeated hell. He is victorious. And because he is victorious, we can live a life in victory as well. And because Jesus is risen from the dead, he gives us this hope that we too will rise from the dead. Come on, that's one part you need to add to that frame as you're looking out into life just now. You've got to remember that your life is not limited to 70. If you know Jesus, you've got all eternity to live and enjoy in his presence forevermore. But right now, you have that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living inside of you. You can live the life of an overcomer. You can advance against a troop. You can scale a wall when Christ is in you, working mightily through you. I wonder today, is there something in your life you need to overcome? You need God's help to get through. Well, he is working in you and he's working for you. So what has he done for us? He's nailed it to the cross. He's dealt with sin. He's made us spiritually alive. And his life and his death and his resurrection power now lives in us, giving us a hope for the future, but power to live in victory today. And what's God doing for us right now? God is, he's working. He's doing something in your life right now. You may not see it. You might not feel it, but he's working. But what about those everyday mercies? Come on, things, if we're being truthful, maybe we just take them for granted. God's help every day in your life. What he kept you from? What he protected you from? What he spared you from? But what he also gave to you? You know, we live in this incredible blessing that we can know his provision every day. He promises that he would give us our daily bread. He promised he'd meet every need. But not only that, we can live in his protection, that we are sheltered, that he is keeping us from harm, that anything the enemy would try to put our way that is out with our Father's will, he's keeping us from that. And of course, we live in his presence. You're never alone. He's always with you every day. You know, that's the amazing thing about having the Spirit of God living inside you, is that you're never alone. He's always with you every day. Not just Sundays when we gather, every day. He is with you in every moment. As a child growing up, I remember a day as a family, we went to the garden center to buy 3 trees for our new garden. Now, there was myself, my brother and my sister, 3 children in our home. And my folks decided to buy a tree for each child. And I remember going, and it felt like it was a long drive, and we got there, and we had to go home, drive home with the trees in the car. Now, we had a people carrier, but the whole way home, we were looking past branches on the way back to our home. And then I remember that there was great excitement when we were planting these trees. And on that day, they bought 3 different trees, a cherry tree, a rowan tree, and a silver birch. And I was so proud of the silver birch. I claimed the silver birch as my tree. And in our garden that was planted, there was 2 in the back garden. There was the rowan tree and the silver birch. And in the front garden, the cherry tree was planted there as well. And you know, every time I see a silver birch, I always remember that journey to go and get those trees. I always remember that garden. I always remember looking at it with so much pride that that was my tree. And now my folks have moved on from that house. And every time I drive past that house, I look over the fence to try and see that silver birch. Every time I go into a park, if I'm walking through the woods, if I see a silver birch, I remember that tree. I remember how my folks bought a tree for each child. I remember that as though they were symbolically growing those trees, they were raising and growing 3 children. That they were planting a seed, that they were watering, that they were tending, that they were growing a tree. And I want to remind you today that in your life, God is growing you. And I want to remind you about those trees I spoke about at the beginning. Some stood tall, some had fallen over. And in our lives, I think the moments we stand tall is when we're people that are overflowing with thankfulness, even in the most difficult of times. You see, Paul tells us that God is working all things together for our good. Now, these things may not be good, but he is working for our good. All of life circumstances, good or bad, the bad he can redeem, he can turn it around. And he can use it for our benefit when we trust in him. So what's God doing for you right now? He's working all things together for your good. We read that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. 29 tells us as well that he has predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. And often it's those unpleasant, difficult times that our characters are being shaped to be more like Jesus. See, God is working, and you're maybe looking for him to work in the external circumstances, but he's already doing an internal work in you. And he's trying to do a work in you to make you more like Jesus. That is the goal for every believer, that we become more like Jesus. In the storms of life, God is always mercy. He's got peace. He's got love that never ends, that will help us in those moments. And nothing is wasted, friend. Nothing is wasted. God can turn every situation around. So that's what he's doing right now. And finally, what has he promised to do? Well, we read it here. His love endures forever. He's always going to love you. He will love you always. See, God's love is not based on your performance and how you feel about yourself or how good you are doing right now or how everything's happening in your life. No, this is what sets him apart from all others, is that his love is unconditional, it's unfailing, but it's eternal. You know, if God was only mighty, he could come and display his power and that would be it. It could be over in a moment. But he says his love endures forever, that his love never ends. See, God is playing not the short game, he's playing the long game. And for all eternity, his love will go on and on and on. And in your life, God's playing the long game. And you might be looking for a quick fix. You might be looking for something to be snappy. When God is trying to conform you to be more like Jesus, and then one day call us to be in his presence forevermore. He's playing the long game. Because God is not just mighty, although he is all loving. His love is steadfast. His love is sure. His love is perfect. His love is eternal. Because he is eternal. That's who he is. And friend, you could be listening to my voice right now and you feel unworthy, you feel unlovable, you feel like you've done so much that God would never love you, and you couldn't be further from the truth. His love endures forever. It's a never-ending story of God's love. And it is the greatest story. It's the best news. It's the good news. It's that God loved you so much. He gave his very best. He gave Jesus. And Jesus dies in your place. Does for you what you could not do yourself. Pays the penalty for our sin. Takes the punishment that we deserve for our sin. And Jesus bears it all. Because of that, we can now come and ask our Father in heaven to forgive us of our sin. And we can receive that love which will fill our hearts. And as we grow in our faith, it won't stay in our hearts. It will overflow. I guess you could be listening today and you've heard messages like this lots of times. Or maybe this is the first time. And I want to give you this moment right now. Say, Daniel, I want to receive that forgiveness. I want to know the love of God. And I want to be filled with the love of God. Well, it really couldn't be more simpler, because God has done everything possible to make it so easy for you to come into a relationship with him. And it really begins by just praying a prayer of commitment. And it would sound something like this. And if you want to pray this today, just follow these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are my Savior. I know I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person by by the power of your Spirit. I believe you are alive. I believe you are my Lord. Help me to follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you prayed that prayer and you say now, I want to follow Jesus. And this is the bit that's a little harder, but God gives us everything that we need. And one of the best ways is that you get in a group of other believers, like here at Apex Church. So we want to help you on your journey. So please, can you let us know? Can you let us know by sending us a message on social media or email, and we'll help you on your journey. You know, just recently I was in Balmoral Castle. I'd been up to visit a day trip with the family. And if you've been to Balmoral Castle, you'll have been amazed at the beautiful castle and the architecture and the grandeur. And I'm sure you've walked the grounds and been inspired by what you've seen. But as we passed through the gates, as we visited, I was listening to the tour guide who was explaining about what Balmoral looked like when Queen Victoria purchased it in the 1850s. And actually, if you're familiar with it now, you'll know that it is surrounded by great trees and forests and woods. But at the point when they bought it, it actually was quite exposed. There weren't many trees nearby the castle. But Prince Albert took it upon himself to plant trees so that the entranceway to the Balmoral Castle was lined with these great evergreens. He planted saplings, little trees. Little trees that in his lifetime he saw grow to a certain point, but he never saw them grow into the grand stature that these trees have today. See, Prince Albert, he looked beyond himself. He saw the need, but he could see further beyond to what could be. You know, sometimes in our lives we are praying for trees, the big trees, and God answers by giving us seeds. And he's looking for us to make a little investment that will go on beyond us. I think back to what my folks did when they bought those trees and they planted them in our garden. And I think of the awesome privilege that each of us have. That there is a generation that is coming up behind you. And you have an awesome privilege that you can look beyond yourself, that you can invest in the next generation. Why did I say that today? Well, this is the Sunday where our kids return to their education, their schooling, their nurseries or colleges. And friends, we have an incredible privilege as the people in the family of God to invest in this generation. That yes, they will thrive and they will excel in all their studies and all they'll do, but each one will know God, that they will know his love, that they will know his goodness, that they would be able to join with this psalm and say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Well, when you think about what God has done, what he's doing for you, and what he's promised to do, I believe you'll grow a thankful spirit, and you'll be someone who's overflowing with thankfulness.